Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. I seek refuge, protection with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy. In the name of Allah, the merciful, benefactor, merciful redeemer. Today is April 13th, the year 2024, and you have tuned in to another segment of the Muslim Book Reading Club, and we've been having a real good time. I think dating back to September, when we begin reading volume one. We're currently on volume two. And back in September, we began reading volume one of a very powerful book titled Mother of the Nation, Clara Evans Muhammad. May Allah forgive her for her sins in paradise. The wife of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. She is also very honorable. We should get that title to her, that description to her name. And so today we're going to read from this volume two. Last week I was on, but I didn't have my own book, so I didn't want to mark in someone else's book. So Sister Mahasa, she can tell us which page we're on when we begin reading. And also, I think Sister Zakiya Numan, that she may want to share with the reading today as well. So just a few notes before we begin. First and foremost, Eid Saeed Mubarak. You know, yesterday was the third day, but still, it's still in the spirit of Eid Saeed Mubarak. And Eid means a victory that keeps returning, keeps coming back year after year, Eid. And Saeed means happy, and Mubarak means the blessings. So that's like really Eid, Saeed Mubarak. The celebration of Eid al-Fitr, the completion of the fast of Ramadan, we have a celebration called Eid. I share with the believers, we're not going to say, that I completed Ramadan. We're going to change that phrase, Brother Mark. We're not going to say, I completed Ramadan. We're going to say, Ramadan completed me. Same for our Salat. I just got done making like Salat. No, Salat made you. Alhamdulillah. Words make people. So, as Sister Mahasa can tell us, I mean, first of all, welcome her to the program. She's been doing such a wonderful job. Sister Mahasana, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, rahmatullah wa barakatuhu. How are you doing in Ansahir?
I'm doing fine. Doing good, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
So therefore,
as you just said.
Therefore,
hello?
Go ahead. I'm
okay.
Just saying, alhamdulillah, therefore, that I'm still doing, I'm not done. That's what I'm doing, alhamdulillah.
Well, that's an important distinction, alhamdulillah, and I agree with you that Ramadan has completed us to the degree of effort and striving that we were able to make, blessed to make, and we prayed it was optimal. We pray that it was optimal for all who participated in obedience to Allah.
I mean,
so I'm doing well.
Yes,
inshallah.
Good.
And we're starting, be blessed to start on another year. So whenever you're ready for me to begin, we will begin on page 129. And I want to give the greetings to everyone who has joined us on the line and welcome them as we pursue this stunning information about the mother of the nation, Clara Evans Mohammed. Written in
page 129 of the first volume. And also Sister Zakiya Numan, she wanted to share
okay.
in the reading today also.
All right.
So, that's, her now.
That's the second volume, not the first.
Yes,
okay.
Volume. Yeah.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Oh, alhamdulillah. Yes, I'm just here if you need me, Sister Mahasin, inshallah, if you would like to share.
MashaAllah. And how are you feeling? We're so happy you joined us today.
Yes, I feel better, and I'm happy to be here with you today.
Thank you. Your presence is quite a support, Sister Zakiya. So, Imam Sahir, I'm going to begin, okay?
Yes.
All right. Inshallah, Allah guide us to extract all of the good from our reading, inshallah, that's possible.
I'm sorry. I knew it was something else on my mind. We're getting towards the end of this book. I want you to give the page in the back is, again, on page 164, is pretty much photographs and the bibliography, et cetera, which we will not be reading the bibliography. So we are really close to the end of the book. We would like to get recommendations for our next book now. So give us time to, those who don't have the book, first of all, give us time to agree on the next book, and also to give people time to get the book that we may choose for our next reading.
Let me update you, Imam Sahir. I did reach out and get the connection to speak to Sister Judy Musa, and I'm going to get back with her in terms of getting the full expectation of when the next volume will be available. I'll do that, inshallah, before next Saturday, so we'll have that information going forward. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, that's good, because I had also heard that there would not be a third volume. So we got different information coming. So maybe she can verify that for us.
We'll get that clarified for our listeners' expectations.
Okay.
And at the E, let me add this. I talked a lot about promoting and the book when I attended the Eve at Masjid Adam in the Bronx, New York, the Center for Human Excellence directed Abdelaziz, and it may be there was such a demand for it, we may offer it if it was publicized at the Eid to begin a second reading, but we can talk about that. I'm just mentioning that for the first time. There's a lot of interest, and especially among the women, to know the facts of Sister Clara Evans Mohammed's life experiences. Inshallah, there's a demand. Alhamdulillah.
Yes,
so I'll begin. Page 129. You're welcome. And the subtitle is Hosting Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Wife and Civil Rights Leaders, page 129 of volume 2. It begins. A gentleman, Ali, came to the nation with a unique skill set and was further groomed by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad from 1960 to 1970. He became the National Secretary for the Nation of Islam. And when interviewed, he spoke of Clara Muhammad. Quote, he said, "She was kind, compassionate, and a great hostess. She and her husband treated everyone who came to their home with graciousness and hospitality," unquote. So the former National Assistant Secretary, Ajib Bilal, said of John Ali, "He virtually single-handedly took the operations of protocol from a mom and pop enterprise to a dignified international office befitting a head of state. After all, it was the Nation of Islam. If a comparison must be made, his role would be equivalent to a White House chief of staff," unquote. John Ali would go to the mansion daily and provide briefing on each dignitary scheduled to meet the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Clara would sit in on many of those briefings and often ask questions. Anyone who wanted to meet with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad first came in contact with John Ali. That included Muslim diplomats and dignitaries from Muslim countries, Africa, the Caribbean, and the United States. Quote, "I recall when Martin Luther King Jr. arrived each time," he said, "Dr. King initiated the meetings and came with Ralph Abernathy, Andrew Young, and Stokely Carmichael, and a few others on one occasion." Quote, "They came in the morning and were first made comfortable and served coffee and tea. I remember Dr. King commenting, 'We are two boys from Georgia,'" unquote. It is frequently missed that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. could converse on the Bible as each knew it well. John Ali continued, quote, "People were surprised to see the level of dignity of the Muslims," unquote. The perception prevailing, though erroneous, was that the Muslims were the underclass. On the second occasion that Dr. King visited Clara's husband and brought Mrs. Coretta Scott King, as the two leaders conversed, Clara and there needs to be a mute. Thank you. Okay. Let me begin again. On the second occasion that Dr. King visited Clara's husband and brought Mrs. Coretta Scott King, as the two leaders conversed, Clara and Mrs. King sat together with the other guests and exchanged conversation over a meal. Requests to the King Center staff and directly to Reverend Bernice King to review the diary archives of Mrs. Coretta Scott King's meeting with Clara Muhammad was to no avail. Referencing the photograph confirmed her presence at 4847 South Woodland Avenue, but no one at the King Center seemed aware of the meeting with Clara Muhammad. However, the women in the Muhammad household recalled it vividly. Geneva Walker Muhammad, the wife of Clara's nephew, Clarence, recalls, quote, "I was there when Dr. King and his wife came. She was so pretty. They were very warm and gracious. I was a cook and enjoyed every day of cooking. I cooked for everybody, unquote. When asked if she served them, Geneva said, quote, no, I prepared buffet style, unquote. Halima Muhammad Ali, a granddaughter, started working in the mansion at 12 and a half years old. He was 15 when Dr. King and his wife visited. That should be she. Okay? Quote, we had to leave school, University of Islam, early to prepare for their arrival. We had to pull out and polish all the silver. We prepared a rolling cart with tea, pure cream, condiments, coffee, brown sugar, and bottled water, and rolled it into the living room. My grandfather was very excited. When they arrived, he said, quote, everyone, I want you to meet Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr. Dr. King bowed his head and said, good evening. My grandfather then said, Clara, I want you to take care of our dinner, of the dinner guests, and escort Mrs. King to the table. Grandmother and Mrs. King and a few other women and a few men assembled in the dining room. Grandfather and Dr. King closed the sliding doors to the massive living room and stayed in there from approximately 3 p.m. to sunset. The sun was going down. When they finally came out, I heard my grandfather say, brother, I will get our people here, but I want you to go to the mountaintop and shout it over there. They were coming together, quote unquote. And I know most of us who are listening remember that as a part of Dr. Martin Luther King's speech. He opened up by saying that he had been to the mountaintop. And he just wanted them to know that I may not get there with you, but we will get there as a people. And that to me was confirmation in his belief in the truth that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad shared with him. Okay, we'll continue. Rukaya Muhammad Farrar recalled, quote, I remember when John Ali briefed my grandparents on a potential visit from a Saudi prince. Grandmother asked him about the women in the country, their roles and circumstances. She was well informed. When the prince visited, she was able to engage him in conversation, unquote. In each instance, Clara welcomed her guests with the highest social graces. As Clara continued to do her work internally, the Nation of Islam struggled to maintain its moral standards and social influence. Testimonies of Muslim women's adoration and allegiance to her husband appeared in articles in the nation's newspaper, Muhammad Speaks. Popular columns such as The Woman in Islam and others were written by secretaries of Elijah Muhammad. In 1967, Clara wrote her own article in Muhammad Speaks newspaper. It may have been an effort to reassert her value to the nation. The article praised her husband and appealed to others to follow and support him. She in no way elevated herself, but she did note the hardships she and her children encountered to establish the Nation of Islam. Co was well received by virtually all who read it. However, her granddaughter, Halima Muhammad Ali, reported, quote, grandfather did not like that she wrote the article. He told her not to write anymore, that this was his time, unquote. Also, in 1967, Wallace made Hajj, his visit to the Kaaba in Mecca, the first house established for the worship of one God by Prophet Adam and restructured by Prophet Ibrahim and his son Ishmael, was another significant step in Islamic development. Clara continued to gather her children and grandchildren, celebrating the family and special events. She cooked her delicious food, gave mother, grandmother advice, fed the needy, supported the sick, comforted and inspired the women. She continued to support education and the University of Islam. She had a comfort level in her nearly 70 years of life. She continued to receive guests at the mansion who visited her husband and excelled in her role as mother of the nation, hosting all who came to the mansion while teaching her granddaughters the special arts. And I must say that I experienced this in meeting and talking with Sister Halima Muhammad Ali. She really carried an indomitable spirit of her grandmother and others also. Sister Nia Hassan also carried a beautiful spirit. I'll continue. Clara Elijah reached a rapprochement. She traveled with her husband, read, and kept up with world events. Her travels continued to enrich her views. She was able to see the impact of the Nation of Islam vis-a-vis global affairs, particularly evident in the political changes developing in African countries breaking from colonial rulers. She was intelligent, alert, and well-informed, yet humble and unassuming. Those qualities seem unappreciated by some who expected a woman in her position to be more ostentatious, bold, and self-absorbed. Still, the FBI had no limits and no moral compass. They were brutal in their tactics of intrusion. Clara did not accept her husband's extramarital behavior, and the women continued to pester her for recognition, requesting that she see their children. When things got difficult, she would travel to Florida to visit her brother or Lana Shabazz. Saviour's Day 1970 found America in turmoil. It was a time of division between citizens and government over increased military aggression in Vietnam. The draft of primarily the poor and black men and the consequences of hundreds of years of crimes against black people. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 and subsequent affirmative action efforts demonstrated some government contrition. The continued assassination of people and programs seemed endless, be they presidents, John F. Kennedy, religious leaders, Martin Luther King Jr., or revolutionaries, Malcolm X, and the Black Panther Party. The increased attendance at the annual Nation of Islam Saviour's Day signified that black people were seeking a different path to freedom. Between 1970 and 1971, a delegation of ministers, captains, and others brought a tape to Elijah Muhammad of Wallace, Imam W. Dean Muhammad, teaching at Temple No. 12 in Philadelphia. The significance was the tape revealed that Wallace taught the problem for humanity was the misrepresentation of religion and the wrong understanding of scripture. He said the Quran was revealed to bring correction. After listening to the tape, Elijah, although not in the best of health, jumped up from his seat at the dining room table of his mansion and said ecstatically, "My boy's got it. He can take that message anywhere. Clara, isn't this what we were waiting for?" Clara nodded her head and said, "Yes. Thank Allah." I'm going to take a pause right here, Imam Sahir, for a minute to have a drink and kind of wet my throat and prepare to continue. Okay? But his sister...
While you're doing that, since this is the end of a chapter, let's take about 5-10 minutes and reflect before we go into the next chapter on page 134.
Perfect, please.
Yeah, good, because this is very interesting information. Plus, the timeline she's gathered bits and pieces of our community's history is out there and quoted often. But this one here is putting it on a timeline when you met Muhammad made Hajj in 1967. And it's a very good article. So just some reflections. Yeah, we'll call it here from 856. Thanks for calling the Muslim Book Community Club. Can you give us your first name and your reflection or your comment or your question?
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Muhammad.
Yeah.
Thank you for the book. I got my book, and I enjoy it.
Which one?
I'm up to page 11, and I'm standing up from my seat when I read it. Anyway, Temple No. 12 is where they
have. Wait a minute, I'm sorry. You said the book, and you're leaving the people hanging. They don't know the name of the book or anything.
What book?
You got to tell them what you just told us about.
Thing about this book that she's reading now, Temple No. 12 is where they had the shooting at.
Right, but you mentioned that you got another. She mentioned that you got another book in the mail, right?
I'm sorry, I have another what?
Oh, I thought you had the other book, the commentary.
No, I said, thank you for the book. I received the commentary.
Thank you.
I received the book.
There we go.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. Now I want the listeners to know which book you were referring to. Because we're in a book club. That's one book.
Well, number 12, Temple No. 12 is Masjid Masjid Muhammad, Sister Claire Muhammad School. This is where the shooting occurred on the Eid. The same place.
Yes. Now,
but you know,
I'm
sorry?
Now, my understanding, it was not, it happened at the Eid, where time, Eid festival time, but it was not initiated by Muslims. It was the shooting initiated by somebody else in the neighborhood, right?
Young people did the shooting, and it was grown folks that bought the guns. The children couldn't buy the guns.
Right,
it was adults that gave those children the guns.
Okay, we understand that. I'm just trying to make a point. Also, when you hear that there was a shooting at the Eid, then the first someone can come to the wrong conclusion and say, "Oh, Muslims were shooting at the Eid." I'm trying to clarify the point. It happened at the Eid time, but it was not the Muslims doing the shooting.
They
it was some neighborhood. Yeah, I understand that, but I want to clarify that. Yes.
Okay.
But I just wanted to clarify that, because when you first hear it, shooting at the E, you think, oh, Muslims were shooting at the E. No, the Muslims were the ones that got shot. I just wanted to make it clear, that's all.
Oh, okay. Got you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I heard that one young lady, a girl, I think, this is all hearsay, so, but she was trying to get away to safety, and she got hit by a car, maybe by even by a police car, I heard.
Probably.
I didn't hear that. Yes, ma'am. But yes, we live in a very crazy.
You know, we're only 20 minutes. We're about 20 minutes away from that. We're here in Jersey, but it's just across the bridge, you know, to go up to that mastery. Mm-hmm. It's not far.
Ma'am.
You know, my imam is good. He gave the khutbah at Jumu, and he said, "You understand? We must respond. We have to help each other." Okay.
Right. What's your imam's name?
His name is Muhammad Ikhlas.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes, but we got to make prayer for that whole situation. Very dangerous, very violent, and pray for justice and that the right thing can be done by the authorities, and that the right thing done within the Muslim community.
Okay.
And we have to be very conscious of that, and that those things don't go and not be addressed properly by the right authorities. So, but we were taking comments on the reading that we had done so far. You have any comments on the reading done so far?
I got in a little late. I was making a slot, and I came over, and so I only heard her read the last two pages.
Okay.
And what I did comment on is that he taught at Temple Number 12, and I wanted to bring it to your attention. That's the same master that the shooting occurred.
You say he? You mean Imam W.D. Muhammad?
Yes.
Yes,
Malcolm taught there too. Both of them taught there.
Ma'am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of history in Philadelphia.
The imam that you wanted to know, my imam's name, and his name is Muhammad Ikhlas. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
His grandmother was my teacher in the first, okay? His grandmother.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay. All right.
Okay,
so I've known that whole family a long time.
Ma'am. So we need to get some updates. I understand that no one was killed, correct?
Two.
Two what?
Eight wounded and two died.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know two died. Muslims died?
Yes, all of them. I'm telling you. They had ambulances there taking them. People in cars were taking them to the hospital. The injured, yeah.
Right.
You know.
Okay, well, thank you.
And our master was
update.
So full. Yeah, okay.
No, I have two more callers I need to get to. I want to make
Go
sure
ahead.
You had covered. Yes, ma'am.
Thank
okay.
you so much.
Go to an, no, thank you. And next caller, our brother Mark. Mark Shahid from the FTL. Brother Mark, assalamu alaikum, Isai Mubarak.
Alaikum assalam, Eid Saeed Mubarak to you. You are Imam Mikhail Sahir Mahasan Abdul Salam to our very astute radio listening audience there, IWDM Radio, Mark Shaheed from the STL, Gateway City of St. Louis in the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to God first and foremost always. And I do want to say this. We are getting conflicting reports here, as I was informed the day, first day of Eid, the Eid al-Fitr celebration. I just want to say that. I had just finished listening to the local news, but then I listened to the national news, and they gave a generic report at that time because they didn't have any more information than what they gave. And the one thing I was glad to hear was that there was no casualties. There were no casualties. There were some people that did get shot, but no casualties. Now, also, I want to say this. I was privileged to listen in on our sister station, AM 360. And a brother that was there, a sister, Martha Naila Abdullah, who's the executive director for CWSC, had on the round table, was an eyewitness that was there that she knows, that's now, once upon a time was in Florida, but he's a native of Philadelphia. And he was given a report, you know, as an eyewitness. And he said that there were about 30 shots that rang down. And then, of course, the natural inclination is to get cover, and that's what the Muslims did in terms of their children and all up under tables and also vehicles. And the brother did say, he did say this, that there were young Muslims that was involved in the shooting. There was a 15-year-old that had an automatic, like a machine gun, that was confiscated, all the guns. And he also said that, praise be to Allah, that they had security, meaning that the Muslim community had security, but they also had the police of Philadelphia were also there. And he said that they were able to bring it to a quick halt and to apprehend. And this kind of corresponds with the national news that I personally heard, that they apprehended five. And four of the five were classified as minors. And Brother Shahid also said that the other person was 24 years old, which was not classified as a minor. So that kind of was congruent with the national news, although the national news didn't say as to who they were or what in that regard. He also brought to the attention of the radio listening audience on AM 360 at the CWSC roundtable that the early part of Ramadan, there was also a shooting that involved two young Muslims. And he said this, and of course we know this is not what Muslims do, but in terms we talking about wearing the label of Muslim, but not the content of Muslim. So when we say that, you understand, he also made it very clear that what happens there, maybe what happens in other major cities, where the young Muslims get with the young non-Muslims in the street, and seemingly they have more influence over them than what the young Muslims actually have. And he said that this is pretty much a common type thing that happens there on a regular basis. I wouldn't have known that had not the brother who was eyewitness was there even saying that there was an earlier shooting in the month of Ramadan. One was on a bicycle shooting at the other one, and that they were so-called Muslims. So I'm just saying there's conflicting reports. The one thing that really struck me in terms of there was no casualties, and then I'm just hearing that they, Sister Sultana Ali is saying that. So what I said was, and I'm saying here on IWDM Radio, the investigation is still going on. So I think it would be the intelligent thing to wait for the information as the investigation is going on, and after that, and to get it from a reliable source after they sort everything out in terms of just what actually happened and all that.
This is not disrespect to what happened. I don't want this to turn into a discussion on the shooting only.
Yeah.
If we get time to put some point, because we're still doing the book reading club. I do have another caller on hold.
Yeah, I do have a comment I want to make on that, but I just wanted to say that, Brother Imam, because I just was just hearing that. So on the reading itself, I think there's a couple of noteworthy things for me. 1967, actually, it was a pivotal year in our community, given everything that had transpired up to that point, the position that our Honorable First Lady and Mother of our community, the position, disposition that she took in terms of the community itself, the Nation of Islam, the commitment to really help her husband, in terms of even writing an article, we can see how genuine Sister Clara was in writing the article in the Muhammad Speaks and actually trying to quell some of the rumors and gossip and everything that was circulating. That was the year that I came into the Nation of Islam in 1967 itself. And also the visit of Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King and his wife, Coretta Scott King. This was something that was not highly publicized and all, and we can understand probably why in that. But obviously the two leaders actually came to agreement on certain things, as Dr. Zakiya Muhammad has written in her book, and all. And so now we even have more of a reference in terms of the famous speech by Dr. Martin Luther King. Also, I think it's very important, 1967, that Minister Wallace D. Muhammad, he made Hajj in 1967. And obviously, in terms of what it was that he saw and that he already knew in terms of al-Islam proper, and I know it had to have had an impact upon him in that regard. So I'm just only just highlighting those things. There was a lot of things that happened in 1967, a very pivotal year for the Nation of Islam. And I'll stop there. I can always say more, but I'll just stop that. It's a very important year in our history and for me, very personal, because that was the year that Allah blessed me to come into the Nation of Islam, 1967. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes. Thank you very much for that history. When we have a person who lives a history, we should definitely give them the attention that's due, because most people don't get that chance. So we thank you once again, Brother Mark, for sharing that. I had one observation before going to the next caller. I have a letter, a copy of a letter, written by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I need to go and check the date on it. But because it says in Dr. Zakiya's book that John Ali said that Dr. King always initiated the meeting. But I have a letter, a copy of a letter, written by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, where he initiated the call to the civil rights leaders, not to Dr. King per se, but he mentions Whitney Young and others. And when he wrote the letters, we could have a meeting, it could be a quiet meeting, it had to be public. But I can find that, and that's very easy for me to find. When I was writing my book, all the Honorable Dr. Muhammad, I came across that letter. I just wanted to make that point. They did have more than one meeting, but that's not that important. That's the fact that they met. They met twice. I think that's the main point. So I wanted to say that. I'm going to my next caller here, Mr. Muhammad, for 914-434. Thank you for calling the Muslim Book Reading Club. Can you give us your first name and your city, please, in your comment?
Yes, this is Muhammad calling from Alvaro, New York. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. All praise due to Allah. Doing great.
Amazing.
Yeah, you said not to say anything else about the shooting that happened in Philadelphia. When we got a reliable source that said right only one of the programs, the big program yesterday, that one of shooter war Muslims. I just thought I'd put that out there too, because we've heard this also.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, and that's possible, you know. So we I think we should be out about sharing things here. But before, mm-hmm. this is a way of broadcasting, before it's broadcasting unconfirmed information, it's not the best. So if you say it and it's unconfirmed, then add that to your comment saying, I heard, but I don't know for sure. Because people will take things and they go with it, and then we'll be responsible for spreading the wrong information. So that's why I'm kind of hesitant right now, because, you know, unless, you know, we can get firsthand primary information, then I think we should refrain from making those comments as if it was or was not. All things are possible. And also, Philadelphia, like New Jersey, is one of those cities where you got hundreds, if not thousands, of children with Muslim names don't know. And they don't know more Muslim than the parents just like the name.
Right.
Out of thousands of them. So someone could be named Muhammad Abdullah and can't even say a Fatiha. So we got to be careful. Because they have a Muslim name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then they were even, then I think in Philadelphia, the way the Muslims were, where they no mustache and wore the beard, for a while I heard that became popular. And the non-Muslims were calling, they referred to it as rocking the sunnah. And they Muslims, they were using that phrase, rocking the sunnah, brothers. Because they were, anybody who's been in Philadelphia knows, you can't turn around and not bump into a Muslim. Muslims are everywhere. It's Philadelphia, New Jersey too. So we got to be careful before you give these comments in the affirmative or with an adamant voice. And we don't know. We weren't there. And we should be praying for the victims and trying to get to the bottom of it. And I think that's safe for us. I mean, I'm here in Indianapolis. I didn't hear about it until yesterday. The system was surprised. I didn't hear about it. You got the Juma and the say about the two in Philadelphia. I said, no, she said at the end, and the first thing in my mind said, Muslim, for sure, Muslim. That's the way she phrased it. Then later on, she said, no, that's not what I meant. But see, it's easy to take something and run the wrong direction with it. Because you say shooting at the end, first thing you come to my mind, Muslims were shooting Muslims. And you said, no, that's not what happened. Let us be very careful. Very, very careful.
Yes.
So, Brother Muhammad, do you have any comments on the reading? We're going to get back to the reading. I don't know if
it's
like he's going to read this or not, but I want to go to Muhammad before. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I want to say on the last two readings we didn't have any comments because I think we was Brother Mob came on his program, came in right after the reading, so we didn't have no comments on the last two readings.
You know, the last three, because we had, she recalled we had mentioned we went to the Ramadan schedule to accommodate each other. So we shortened our programs and shifted days. And they're just working together as a team, you know, so. But, hey, I blocked out 3 hours, so we still got 2 hours and 10 minutes left. If you want to make up any comments that we didn't make the last few weeks?
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to go back to the get an opportunity back to page 116 and 117 of the book.
Well let's do that right now. Let's do that. No, we're gonna do that right now. And I mean, I'm not gonna end it. In the big area. And you say 116?
Yes, 116.
And 117? Which you're referring to? Which point are you referring to?
Are you speaking to me in here?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Oh, yes.
I'm speaking to you, Brother Muhammad.
Right. I'm going to page 116 at the bottom, the last line.
Yes.
Everyone there?
I'm reading now the last line. It says, on December 13th, 1977, the heir apparent Wallace, as the new leader of the Nation of Islam, addressed the Muslim community at a community night lecture in Chicago, attended by more than 600 people. He titled his talk, The Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Dishonorable Elijah Muhammad. The title and subsequent lecture garnered the ire of some of his father's devoted followers and some family members. However, his comments had already been confirmed by his father's behavior and recorded by the FBI. Wallace, Imam W.D. Muhammad, stated he wanted to publicize the issues because others were preparing to profit from them by publishing scandalous books, movies, and tabloids. He further told the group of Muslims, while certain aspects of the Nation of Islam had to evolve to be consistent with the Quran, if a people were to have a dignified future as intelligent and moral human beings, he reviewed the outstanding contributions of his father, but also his human failings, and said, quote, that consistent with the Quran, we will keep, and that which is not, we will let go. So you have a comment on that?
I guess my comment on that was when the Imam, he was very humble and direct and to the point. He went right to the situation because he knew what was out there. And that's why he said, it garnered the ire, I-R-E, of some of his father's devoted followers and some of the family members. But the Imam took the position, he spoke up because he just read about what people were going to do after if he had not published that, because it was all out there, how people were going to make money and all that, about what was said out there. So I thought that was very important that Imam took that position when he did and said what he did at that particular gathering of the people.
I mean, I totally agree. So he took the thunder from them. He took the steam out of their steamboat. And he showed us what we have to do to have the moral courage that the Quran says, tell the truth, be a witness to God, even against yourself or your mother, your father, and rich or the poor. Because Allah is best to take care of all of us. And the Imam, he done that. Yes, he had the moral courage, which just tells us, in following the example of Muhammad the Prophet, we too must have moral courage. Sister Claire Muhammad had a lot of moral courage. And many of us, we have more courage. Yes.
Yes, we do.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay.
I would like to commend Brother Muhammad Sharif. I always consider his contributions as directed. You know, we have a saying in our Islam: speak the word directed to the mark. Don't be ambiguous about things.
Right.
And I noticed over the years that we worked in the same arena, that this is a pattern of behavior for him. And I want him to know, just as a coworker, how much clarity, because of that pattern that he follows, that he brings to the efforts that he participates in. And that's an encouragement for all of us. Because the phrase is common among African-American homes and communities, divided we stand. Excuse me, not divided.
Together we stand,
divided we fall. And I remember growing up constantly hearing my parents talk about that in terms of our family togetherness. They were always, my mother was always conscious about concepts and ideas that might divide us as a family.
Mm-hmm.
She would speak on them and nurtured, as a result, very close relationships between myself and my siblings, where even today we are guarding our unity as a family and trying to avoid all of the efforts to divide us, divide and conquer, as they say. So this is such a valuable concept, and I commend him and for being in that.
Very good. I'm going to open the phone line again for Sister Zakiya, but I think Sister Mark, I think one hand went up. I think it's Sister Sultana, hand went up. So I'm going to let her go first, and then I'll come back to you, Brother Mark, okay?
Okay, okay, thank you.
Sister Sultana?
I'd just like to say thank you. Thank you for Sister Mahasan, and I feel all praise is due to Allah.
Alhamdulillah.
I mean, is it Sultana?
Yes, Assalamu alaikum. You know, one media female correspondent was saying, it's the Sister Clara Muhammad School, so if you have children there, you need to go and get your children. It wasn't even like that. There was no children. She never mentioned that it was our holiday. You understand? So that's kind of false media that's going around, and people look all confused about what really, really happened.
That's right. And I thank you for that, because that also supports what we had agreed to a few minutes ago. That's where you get more verifiable information. Because people just run with it. They don't get news to be correct. They get news to just be the first to report it. And then they can, you know, they just don't care. But thank you, Sister Zatana, for letting us know. I want you to get back to our reading. I'm sorry, I forgot just so quick. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. This is going to be very quick in terms of at 1977. The 1977 address that Imam Muhammad actually gave, because he's also quoted as saying there's certain things in regards to his family.
Hello?
What happened? He went out. I don't know.
Mashallah.
He's still open.
No, he has to go ahead and let Mark. We didn't have last week. We did not have a time to comment. That's why when he let the brother do it today, that's a good thing. We need to cover
Brother
the things Mark, that we're reading.
Brother Mark
was
talking. His line is still open, but he's back now.
I'm here. Okay, I was just trying to something the Imam
said.
He
went out
that
for about 2 minutes.
Oh,
you
did I? Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so I'm going to be very brief here, but the Imam once has said to us that there are certain things he wouldn't even speak about in his family that were personal like other families, but because he felt compelled to say those things to really help us in having the right perception and conception in regards to his father, but also the community. And also, I wanted to say that. But also, in terms of 1977, in terms of the address that he gave, the Imam was speaking from the Quran. And we read it, during this past, fasting in the month of Ramadan, while feasting on the Quran, when Allah says, and stand firmly with me, and do not allow hatred and animosity of others to cause you to swerve and to be unjust and unfair. So what Imam Muhammad, what Imam Muhammad was giving to us, he was standing firmly on God's word in regards to that and speaking a word directly to the right. Those things, you know, that was good, that his father actually gave, and it was a lot of good. We could stand firmly on that. That's in accordance with what God's word is. But the hatred and animosity that came as a result of others and all of that to strike back, to be unfair and unjust, even in regards to his mother's feelings and all of that, we can't stand on that and stand for that, regardless of whom or what, in that regard. And I think that's very important for us to know that the imam took the stance and the disposition of the Quran. That's very important to know that he took the disposition of what God says in that regard. So I thank Muhammad Sharif for bringing that up. And Imam Muhammad didn't stand for what was wrong and what was unjust and unfair. I'll stop there. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we're going to continue.
Now, are you going to read or Sister Sakia going to read? It's fine with me.
I did salve my throat, and I can continue now. However, if it's some contribution she would like to make, I welcome her. Sister Zakia, would you like to continue, or would you like for me to go on? Maybe she stepped away for a while.
She must have, yeah. Okay, I'm going to put her phone back on mute and let you continue reading. And what page are we on now?
We're on page 134, Chapter 14, and the subtitle is the last. And I want to say before I begin, there is an essential place. I liked the suggestion and the importance of what Brother Mark was saying, and also Sister Sultana. The reflective wealth that we gain from reviewing our history in truth, especially if we can rely on the research as being the truth of what happened and the essential elements that this author, Dr. Ramona Zakia Muhammad, was blessed to compile, is that it works to straighten our pathway. Remember in the Hadith, the Hadith Qudsi, Iblis told Allah, he was very bold and arrogant, and he told Allah, I'm going to lay in the straight way and come at them from before, behind, up and down, side to side, whichever which way I can try to unseat them and prove them unworthy to you, position that Allah had given Adam, the Khalifa. He said he would be indefatigable, untiring in his efforts to turn that around. And so we must be untiring in our efforts to stand in the dignity of what Allah had originally formed and shaped and created the human being to have. We must be relentless in that. Inshallah, my Ramadan prayer, and we prayed we do the Ramadan with the powers of self-restraint against doing harm where harm is not warranted. So we pray Allah that over the next year it will be, inshallah. Sorry for extending that, but you know, our voices and our talking together is so important. Alhamdulillah. All right, so chapter 4, approaching her 73rd year, Clara was visiting Lana Shabazz in Florida. When interviewed, Minister Louis Farrakhan said, quote, I was speaking at the University of Florida, and I knew that mother was there. So I ordered Bird of Paradise flowers and brought them to Lana's house. She, Mother Clara, came out of the back where she was and said words to me, some of which I will not repeat. Then she asked me to describe the palace that was being built in Chicago. I had just come from Chicago and gave her a description of the palace, and she looked at me and said, I don't think I will live to see it. That same year, she was in Mercy Hospital dying, unquote. Clara had a sharp tongue for many of the ministers of Elijah Muhammad who sought to shield and dignify what she believed was his perfidious behavior. At the end of it, we're going to define that word perfidious because we need to understand what she was perceiving. I'll continue. Shakila Hassan reported, quote, she called me from Florida and said she was not feeling well and not breathing well. I was alarmed and told her to come back to Chicago and see her doctor and get an X-ray, unquote. Clara came back home and was hospitalized at Mercy Hospital. Isn't that something? The hospital was called Mercy. The first week in July, 1972, she was diagnosed with terminal inoperable stomach cancer. Nathaniel Muhammad said, quote, she kept her illness to herself. She did not tell us. My father told us when it was terminal, unquote. A host of women, ministers, students, dignitaries, and Muslims in general sought to see her. Only her condition prevented many from expressing in person their love and appreciation for what she did for al-Islam in America, for women, education, and the Nation of Islam. Prayers from believers in mosques around the country were offered for Clara. Students and teachers from the universities of Islam sent scores of cards, letters, and flowers. Accompanied by Clark X. Muhammad Siddiq, director of the University of Islam, New York, Minister Farrakhan said, quote, when I visited her at the hospital, her words to me were, dear brother, I want you to help my husband. He is getting old now, and he can't do the things he used to do. I want you to help my husband. Tears came from her eyes, and I wiped her tears and promised her that I would help her husband. That was the last time I saw my spiritual mother alive. Unquote. Hafisa Al-Ukhda came into the nation in Los Angeles, 1961. She and her husband, Jesse, were known for their charitable works despite her husband having only one leg. Their daughter, Priscilla, we know Priscilla well, love her dearly. Their daughter, Priscilla, a military veteran and an alum of the University of Islam, championed the cause of Muslim schools among alumni. She founded the University of Islam and Clara Muhammad School's National Alumni Association, 1992, and for decades has worked to keep the vision of independent, self-affirming education alive. Mrs. Al-Ukhda traveled from Los Angeles to Chicago to visit her in the hospital, accompanied by several women Clara knew from the early days of the Nation of Islam. She said, quote, Sister Clara was quiet, a very reserved person. If she knew you, she was very humorous and loved talking about her husband. but she was a very strong woman. And all of the things she and the sisters did establishing and supporting that school were the most memorable. Those days were the most beautiful days, the early days of the Nation of Islam, unquote. Mrs. Al-Uqda continued, quote, we stayed about an hour and a half. Sister Clara was very sick, but she was laughing and in good spirits. She told us that her husband kept talking about the new home they were building in Arizona. She so thoroughly believed in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and W.D. Farad Muhammad, quote unquote. She said, Sister Clara said they were building a new house in Arizona because of the need to be in another climate, that she and Elijah both needed dry heat. It was just too cold and moist in Chicago for them. Sister Clara said, laughing, Elijah has just been talking about when his house is finished, he will add this to it. And when he moves in, he's going to buy this and that. Clara reportedly commented to him, Elijah, what are you talking about saying your house? He said, huh? Don't worry about that, Clara. Anything that's mine is yours. It's your house, too, he said. Clara is reported to have responded, yes, that's right. We both will be moving into that house. She liked Arizona and was tired of the cold weather in Chicago. Whew. Elizabeth Shabazz left Philadelphia to visit Clara in the hospital. She said, Mother Clara said to me, quote, girl, if Allah would bless me to get out of this bed, I'm going to come visit you and go on with my life. Excuse me. Excuse me. Hassan Sharif recalled, quote, grandmother was in Mercy Hospital, sick, and I was out of the community along with Uncle Wallace. When I went to see her, I said, Assalamu alaikum, grandmother. And she said, grandmother, you don't look like no grandson of mine with all that hair on your head, and you haven't had a shave. I was shocked because she was sick, being out of the community. I was wearing a natural dashiki and African beads around my neck and did not look like Boy. 2 days later, I went back to the hospital. I had a haircut real short. I hated doing it, but I did it for her. I shaved and I came back and she smiled and said, now you look like my grandson, and hugged me. She stood up for the program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad all the way. She was a remarkable woman, unquote. Lottie Raya recalled, quote, when my mother was sick, I didn't realize she was actually terminating. She met with her children, all of them. She wanted each one of us to do certain things. One by one, we came to visit and received instructions and gifts from her, quote unquote. Imam Muhammad, W.D. Muhammad, said, quote, my mother only gave me religious items. Lottie Raya continued, quote, she said to me, if Wallace would just make up with his father, that was her desire. She wanted him to do that. So I went to him and said, I want Mama to die happy. I don't want her to be worried. So he said, I'll talk to her. He did talk to her, and I don't know what he said. She never told me. Came out of the room, I was anxious. I asked, what happened? Quote, what did you say? He said, oh, she's happy. She's happy. That's all he said. You know how the imam is, just a few words, unquote. Wallace was officially in class F, put out of the Nation of Islam. Lottie Raya continued, quote, I remember he would come to the hospital every day, sit on the floor outside my mother's room, and read the Quran the entire time she was hospitalized, approximately 3 weeks. She later told me, quote, I'm not worried about Wallace. He will be all right, unquote. Clara knew what her son had to do and what she had prepared him to do. Lottie Raya later reported, quote, my mother told Wallace, son, you go on and lead the people. They will follow you. Then she gave him her final gift, her personal Quran, unquote. Imam Muhammad later said, quote, my honorable mother, Sister Clara Muhammad, before she expired, only put into my possession religious items, no money, no jewelry, nothing of that nature. A postcard that she received in the mail after her delivery, referring to me as Wallace D. Muhammad, and my mother also left to me her Quran. Two things, a postcard and the Quran. In real measure, the role of the Quran in my life is not without Clara Muhammad's attendant influence. In that regard, my devotion to the holy book is of her legacy, unquote. Hassan Sharif said, quote, I remember him saying she had given her Quran to him. He described it as small, could fit in the palm of your hand, and was all in Arabic. All four corners on the front and back were embedded with pearls. It had other colors and lots of gold running through it. It was delicate and beautiful. Lottie Raya said she continued to be distraught about her mother's sickness and turned to Wallace again. Quote, I don't know why I always turn right to him every time. I did know from a child that he would be the one that would take over when my father passed. I knew that. We all knew that. Almost before he was born, because Master Farrar made my father promise that if he was a boy, to make him promise that he would help him with the mission. And my mother was always told to take special care of him. And she did. She took special care. Although she beat the daylights out of him, she still took care of him. She really did. So I've always felt him to be close and thought him to be special. So I went to him and said, can't we do something to help her because she was dying? It looked like Allah would let her live. I really wanted him to pull some miracle for me. He came to me. And after he listened to what I had to say, he said, well, we can only ask Allah just so many times. He saved her before, which he did. She had two surgeries before. He continued, quote, we can only ask him to save her just so often. He made me understand that the Quran says nothing happens without Allah's permission. I got comfort from that. Quote, when I think about my mother, her main thing was the school. Graduation time, she loved it. She would get herself together and say, I've got to get money for the children. I'm going to ask your father for some money. How do I look? She made sure everything was just right. She never went out dirty. No one, not one spot on her. She was neat and clean at all times. And she would say, quote, I'm going down and get some money in order to give it to the children. She would give $5 to seniors and $3 to the eighth graders. And we had a big school, nearly 500 children. She loved graduation time. She would just sit and admire the children when they would walk down the aisle. She would say, don't they look pretty in their white dresses and their little suits? She just loved it. And she would pass out roses to them on graduation day, unquote. Years later, discussing the legacy of his mother, Imam W.D. Muhammad said, quote, more important than the flowers or the money or gifts was that look on her face. I know my mother. I know that look of satisfaction and encouragement that she was pleased with me, that said, son, you made me so happy with you today. I am behind you to keep on doing what you were doing. Her smile would light up her face, and she would look at you and make you feel so good and so rewarded for what you had done that she appreciated. And I saw her give that same look to children who were not her children of her own blood. She would give them that same look. It was not in any way weaker than the look she gave to me. And I want the children of Sister Clara Muhammad School to know that. That Sister Clara Muhammad had the same interest in you, all that she had in her own children. She had the same appreciation and happiness when she saw one of your children excelling that she had when she saw her own children excelling. Alhamdulillah, unquote. Clara decided she wanted to be home. The last week in July, 1972, she was moved from the hospital to her bedroom with two capable nurses, Alberta Muhammad and Eloise Benita Jamila Muhammad, providing 24-hour care. From that date until the 12th of August, family members continued to pour into the mansion to see her, foregoing sound dietary advice to allow her to have whatever she wanted. Her granddaughter, Halima Muhammad Ali, reported Clara requested a special meal, chicken wings and rice. She continued, quote, I was in the room when two of the secretaries, Tynetta Muhammad and Lucille Muhammad, came into the bedroom with their then four children. I remember Ishmael in particular. He was the oldest. He saw my grandmother, unquote. Even in her most vulnerable state, Clara was gracious to her core and bore the situation with dignity. That was just the beginning of the secretary's invasion of her personal space. In earlier conversations with her daughters, especially Ethel, Clara had expressed concerns about her jewelry. She did not want the secretaries to claim it and even suggested they bury the items with her.
Within a few days, Clara went into a coma for an extended period, and each of the secretaries would come into her room to look at her. Never all at once, but each one took the opportunity, family members reported. In her intermittent consciousness, family said they could hear her recite, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want."
It's getting late. Let's stop here. Need to bring it. Let us just stop here, and more guests as our place to stop. We can open up for questions and comments. Stop here. So if we can mark this as where we stopped at, then we pick up here next Saturday because we also have some very challenging things in the last few pages that need to be discussed before going into the theology of time.
Exactly.
So everyone please mark the page.
139.
139, yes. So mm-hmm. If you, some people may want to just want to go out of queue to come back in queue if you want to have a comment, because I'm not sure as to who. Oh, well, we may have comments or not. But what we just read is quite a challenge, a very difficult moment for Sister Clara Muhammad have to endure. A very serious invasion of her private life and her private space. And by people who, many rights, I won't say all rights, by many rights, she had the right to really not care for them to be in her presence, but it sounds like she may have been somewhat vulnerable and not able to control them being in her presence. But I don't know her mind, her heart that well to say what she felt. But from the impression I'm getting here, she had to endure some things in her own house that she didn't particularly care for. But at this time here, if anyone has any thoughts or comments, you can press one. Please, Mr. Hudson, will you want to share something?
Yes, it soothes my heart that of all the visitors, the predominance were of people who loved her, her family, mm-hmm. and the coworkers who she was like family with. Dr. Zakia keeps sharing the direct comments of love and affection and attachment that Sister Clara Muhammad intentionally made with those that she cared about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she only mentions the intrusive type of visitation from people, those who had already betrayed her. And there were just a few, I think he said four, in particular, and maybe one or two others, including Minister Louis Farrakhan. But even her last statement to him was to ask him to do a special favor for her in helping the Honorable Elijah Muhammad continuing. And he kept that promise. He's keeping that promise. Now, I didn't understand it like that, because of the commitment that he made to W. Dean Muhammad on that Savior's Day.
I disagree on that.
Now,
well, I disagree.
I can understand. No problem. I'm just making an independent comment. I'm just sharing how it affected me and how it course corrects my understanding
And each of us probably had a very strategic and independent experience if we were there at that time or heard about it after it happened. This biography, this book, this memoir is so strategic in clarifying actually what happens.
For anybody who listens, do you have any comments, questions, reflections on this book? You can press 1 on the phone, and we will bring you into conversation. It's been another, each page you turn is another revealing of the things we just didn't know or didn't fully know or correctly know.
And right.
I'm very grateful to the work of Dr. Zakiya Muhammad. Brother Marshall, yes. Bring you back on. Brother Mark Shaheed went up first. You on, Brother Mark?
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. And I want to say alhamdulillah. Praise and thanks belongs to Allah. First and foremost, always. I want to thank Mahasan Abdul Salam once again. Excellent reading. And thank her for being available and taking on task of actually reading this outstanding publication by Dr. Zakiya Muhammad. And may Allah bless her with the highest place in the Jannah for the contribution she's made. I mean, so much, Brother Imam Sahir, as you well know, Mahasin and Sultan Ali and those who are listening here when she was in Florida. And obviously, she had been sick for a long time, and just still on the course, on the path, and everything, and coming back to Chicago, where she was hospitalized at Mercy Hospital, what she had to endure. I think that one of the things in terms at that time, Minister Wallace D. Muhammad, I think it's noteworthy that he was excommunicated. Her grandson was excommunicated at that particular time. But her son was there every day. He was there every day. And he was reading the Quran. Huh?
No, you said
no,
grandson.
It was in the reading. It was in the reading that Mahasin was reading, that Minister Wallace D. Muhammad would visit his mother while she was hospitalized there at Mercy Hospital,
right.
And that
right.
He was reading the Quran. I'm not surprised.
That's right.
In that regard, and this is 1972, so we already had a background, on the Imam in terms of Allah blessing him with the insight of the Quran. And I think it was also very noteworthy in terms of Sister Lati, a.k.a. Raya, which is given the name by her brother, Raya Muhammad. And that's, of course, that's the mother of Sister Halima Muhammad Ali, who I consider to be really their historian in the family, even now, capture. A lot of the information and all that she always would think about, when she think about her grandmother and her condition, she always would think about her brother and going to him, consulting with him. And this is something that many did, including Malcolm. He did it all. And then, of course, how Sister Clara, even her thinking in terms of actually having something special for all of her children and grandchildren that came in, that even though she know that she was in her last days, that Allah blessed her with a consciousness to be able to say to her children and grandchildren. Could you just only imagine? It kind of really touched me to hear how Allah blessed her to be consciously aware of each one of her children and grandchildren, that she still was rendering advice to them in terms of her expectations. That is so beautiful. You know that a mother and a grandmother, you know, even though she know that she don't have many days left, but saying something that would be special to each one of her children, and she considered each one to be special in that regard. And then even in the reading, say she wasn't worried. She wasn't worried about Wallace. She really wasn't worried about Wallace, because you have to remember that early on, she acknowledged, and whether people know it or not, that the first two to acknowledge him as the leader in that memorable moment that even Imam Muhammad had said to the community on more than one occasion, where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had been sick and listened to that tape and then jumped to his feet, you understand,
yes,
and says, my son has got it. He can take that message anywhere in the world, meaning that he acknowledged that he got, this is a universal message. This is the help that W.D. Farad was talking about. And then he asked his wife, Clara, isn't this what we've been waiting for? And he said she flashed that beautiful smile and said yes and nodded her head. At that point, this is very important, at that point, that was the acknowledgement that they was the first two to accept that leadership of Minister Wallace D. Muhammad in that regard. And I think, you know, I do agree with you, Imam Mikhail Sahir, because earlier in the reading, it was said, and Dr. Zakia, she captured, this is not my personal opinion, she captured what Minister Farrakhan said about our Honorable First Lady and mother of our community.
And I
want to say this on record. This is not the first time Minister Farrakhan has said things in that regard and then turned and did something else different. He said he wanted to be a helper. Even in regards to remarks that he made about Malcolm here in St. Louis, I'm not telling you what I think secondhand. I've been in this community a long time, and I heard him with my own ears and all in terms of his disdain for Malcolm. And the ministers, you understand, that disliked him and wanted to see him be removed and all of that. I won't repeat what he said, but I could tell you straight out, firsthand, not secondhand, personally, in that regard. And what he said, of course, is Sister Mahasin has said, and I think Brother Muhammad Sharif, because we was on the Ramadan schedule, those things was not an opportunity to make commentary on. But to see our Honorable First Lady and Mother in that regard, you know, it was not a help to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because he wanted to be the leader. He wanted to be the leader. He actually asked and begged and pleaded in that regard. But as Dr. Zakir so eloquently articulated, the family knew, and those in position, they knew, and I want to say that I knew here in St. Louis, because what had transpired here in Minister Yusuf Shah, he was the minister there at Mosque Number 2, Temple Number 2, and he even said it himself the last time that Minister Wallace came after we finished cleaning up. I never forget, it was on a Saturday night. He said one of the first things he said, I want you all to know that Wallace is back. And he said this time he's back to stay. And he's back to stay to help his father, you know, in all. So many of us knew, we knew that he was to be the successor. The Honorable Elijah was not influenced, nor was he swayed to acknowledge anybody else as the leader, and as it was the family. It just became known to the public in terms of that at that time but everybody knew that, supposed to know that he was to be the leader. And this is why Sister Clara, she said what she said, and the only things that Dr. Zakiya said was religious literature, and she gave him her own personal Quran. Her own personal Quran. You know, I don't know how you all take it, but...
Yeah, I stopped.
You
gotta stop, but you gotta yield sometimes. You get to go.
Okay, I'll yield.
Meanwhile, I made that comment that I disagree, and this is nothing against my sister, my husband. It's just a support for me. As you say, you support the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You got to go back to what he said by his own work.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm not here to teach you Islam.
Mm-hmm. That's
my
right.
My job is to clean you up. The one to come after me will teach you Islam. That's the first point.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to support him, and he said, and you could probably be a witness here, my mission goes to my grave with me. So how are you going to support a mission that went through the grave with him? That's my second point. But my biggest point is this. That once you come into understanding, blessed by Allah, to see right, what
That's
is
right.
our constant dua, we said? What is our constant dua? Verbena, my Lord.
Yes.
Lash, no. Tizik, deviate.
Yeah.
Rubina, my heart. Back at death, after you have gave us the guidance.
That's right.
Now, I can't, if you're going to go, once the Imam Muhammad came in and Allah blessed him, blessed the Imam to give us the guidance, I pray as for banner. Don't let my heart deviate now since you
That's
guided
right.
us right.
That's right.
Don't let my heart deviate. So, now,
mm-hmm.
man, you're going to take somebody back to teaching the man is God? If we go support that as being a uplift for the unbelief of Muhammad, I ain't buying it, I ain't biting my tongue.
Right. And that's my disposition.
Like
that was my
like
disposition. Yeah, I didn't say it, but that was my disposition too. And especially the first
that's
thing
good.
That you said, I heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad personally, not secondhand. I heard him say it several
yes.
times. My job is to clean you up and get you ready. He said, but the one coming after me will teach
me.
The religion, will teach you the religion and everything. And we knew that was Minister Wallace D. Muhammad. And so it became apparent to me, no, you are not Minister Farrakhan at, in 1970. He started in late 1977. In 1978, he had deviated from that and decided to go back and to dig it up all over again and start it up all over again. No, that's not helping. That's not helping what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and
you know
W.D.
What?
Started. No.
Yeah, let me get my brother in because Muhammad been on hold for a while. My brother Muhammad, you're on now.
Okay. I wanted to clarify comments to what Brother Mark was and you were saying, because we have to remember how things transport in, and if Brother Muhammad Sharif comes in, I'll defer to him. But
yes,
remember, Imam Muhammad explained to us the times that, remember when Minister Farrakhan was in the throes of illness, and he thought that it was terminal. He was told that it was terminal. And he asked to meet with Imam Warthadeen Muhammad so they could experience a mutual reconciliation. Because there was so much talk about the fractures in their relationship. And I remember Imam Muhammad seemed to go out of his way to emphasize that he didn't have any hatred or disparity against Minister Farrakhan. And it was for two reasons. One, that Minister Farrakhan was under the impression himself that somehow he had an obligation, as was said in this chapter, in the request, that the deathbed request Muhammad made to him to help the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I believe Minister Farrakhan took that to heart. But there was always this group pushing to Minister Farrakhan that he come back and be their leader to perpetuate the Nation of Islam, because they weren't inclined to make a transformation. They were not inclined to make the transition into Quranic practice of Al-Islam, and they wanted him and his expertise to continue to chart their journey in remaining the Nation of Islam mentality. Share openly with
us. She used the word. Last thing
he said was, in his discussion with Minister Farrakhan, his loving discussion with Minister Farrakhan, he said he expressed how he felt sorry because Minister Farrakhan was saying those he was leading were adamant that he would never leave them, that Minister Farrakhan would never be allowed to leave them. Minister Farrakhan even offered to Imam Muhammad that would turn all of his followers over to Imam Muhammad. And Imam Muhammad said, no, I can't accept them. This is your following, and therefore it is your responsibility to either lead them, do whatever it is. I cannot step in and take that over, transforming them. So it's so beautiful how Allah, in his mercy, renders justice on every turn. No matter what we do, we should always have the confidence that Allah is only going to permit justice to come. The ones who are guilty and maybe have some harm that they committed, they're going to get just what they deserve and no more. It's like when we get a punishment for doing a bad deed. We only get the equation of that deed. We don't get more punishment. And that Allah's protection is on the believer and the one who stays the course. And I love that.
Well, let me just say this. This reminds me of when Moses was gone and Aaron, he convinced Aaron to make a golden calf. Yeah, so I'm sorry. I don't understand that at all. Because false worship. We can't justify shirk, especially if someone knows better.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna give that one second of energy. Person go out there and knowingly with knowledge promote shirk. No, I don't want that on me on Day of Judgment.
And you know, Minister Farrakhan knows better. He knows better. He knows better. And see, it's one thing if you do something on your own that's wrong, but it's another thing when you lead other people astray, innocent people. I wouldn't want that on me. I wouldn't do that. And he didn't need to do that. And what Mahasan said, I was there the first Sunday on security. And after Imam Muhammad addressed the radio listening audience for 1 hour, he talked to us as a community about the invitation that Minister Farrakhan gave to him. This is when he was suffering with prostate cancer, and he thought his days was numbered. And he invited Imam Muhammad to come and visit. He wanted to speak to him. In a nutshell, Imam Muhammad told us there that first Sunday, he said, Minister Farrakhan asked me if I would take over his community and be the leader. Imam Muhammad told us, he said, no, I declined. He said, no, this is your community, that you have the obligation, the responsibility to bring them to al-Islam proper. And he said at that point, Minister Farrakhan promised him that he would. But Imam Muhammad also said to us, he said, but he's done that several times. And when he would take a step forward, then he would go backwards in that regard. So he knew the truth. And then with Muslim leaders around the world, he knew what to say to them to let them know he knew the truth, but he continuously, in the final call, if you could read it, and I haven't always been blind where I couldn't read, it's still in there. And it still is said in many times and occasions that the Sabbath Day addresses still bring it up, where the people still have a misconception and perception. And we're talking about some of them being very innocent in that regard. No, you're right, Imam Mikhail Sayer. He knows better. And Imam Muhammad is reminding him that I have put away those things that should have been put away and should have been buried. You went back, you dug it up, and you went back to reignite and rejuvenate the Nation of Islam. No, that's your community. That's your responsibility. You're accountable for that. And the man was wise, very, very wise in terms of actually saying that to him. So, no, that's not... And actually, Minister Farrakhan said in a speech a couple of years ago that he had said to Imam Muhammad that I disagree with some of the things that you're saying. So he said that Imam Muhammad said to him, he said, well, when you teach, just teach the things that you agree with me on. But it was obvious, blatantly obvious to him. He says he couldn't do that. So he was already leaning toward that way. And it's just like in the Quran, those persons that want to, in a nutshell, said the devil made me do it. No, even Shaitan will deny, you understand, having any influence or impact. You know, he promised, but he says, Shaitan says, Allah promised. You should have accepted his promise in that regard. So the true believer don't backtrack in that regard. So I totally agree with that, and I wouldn't want that to be on my head, because the imam did the right thing. Those things that should have been dismissed and explained and clarified, Imam Muhammad did his job. He did that, and those things that he said that my father gave that was good, then you bring those things forward with you. He never told us to dismiss those things, to keep those things, the good things, but the things that had to be terminated and stopped, Imam Muhammad did that, and he gave us the explanation and clarification.
I think Sister Sultana got something she wanted to add. Sultana, you have a comment you want to make?
No, I'm just listening. You want me to go on?
Okay. No. Yeah. No, I guess because your phone number showing up twice, so I'll put you back on mute. I didn't know. You can press one when I put you on mute.
Yes, I'm still here, ma'am. Okay.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to go back to when Sister Clara told Nelson Farrakhan that she would like for help, she wanted him to help her husband. That's something that, if we say Nelson Farrakhan, he took that to heart, then he probably would say, if she asked me to help her husband, no one else is going to do it, because she knew her son, Imam David Dean Muhammad. She knew that he was not going back to support something that the unrealized woman said.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what she said in the fire con. He would help my husband. And then in the, on the program, the lecture that Imam made in 1977, he's saying he reviewed the outstanding contribution of his father, but also his human failings, and said, quote, "That which is consistent with the Quran, we will keep, and that which is not, we will let go."
That's right.
Just one observation, if I may.
Beautiful.
Sister Claire Muhammad, she can only ask Mr. Farrakhan to help according to her level of understanding.
Absolutely.
She was not a Quran student as we are now. So she did that with all the ministers, Malcolm, anybody who helped to work, I think it's mentioned in this book maybe, anyone who would help to work with her husband, she called them son and said that they helped her husband. He did not
right.
have the understanding that we got
that's
now.
Right.
So he was asking, you know, Bishop Paul Boyce Sr., which kind of comes, and she was dedicated to Mr. Farrar, too.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And
that's right.
I'm sure if she had lived to hear Imam Muhammad, she would have had a different look on Mr. Farrar.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think one of the other things is really clear to get a perspective. That's why we are enjoined to read the Quran from start to finish in 30 days. In the concept of reading fluency, you grasp a deeper understanding and knowledge when things are confluent, when they flow from one idea to the other with no artificial separation. So reading the Quran, a juz a day, for 30 days, constructs a perception of logic in the Quran that is a part of the guidance, a necessary part of guidance to the human being. It has to make sense to the mind that Allah gave the human being and his human perceptive abilities in order to feel the hear and obey factor. We don't talk about things, impacts, deeper impacts on reading the Quran. But Allah said in Surah 96, he taught man mind by the use of the pen that which he was not before knowing. We couldn't have known the knowledge before until the revelation came. And in Surah 55, Surah Al-Rahman, it says that Allah created the Quran. Then he created the human being.
He taught the Quran and created the human being.
Yes. Well, I use created, Brother Mark. That's just my perception of how I'm doing. But we know that Allah brought about the Quran. The Quran was there, and yes, he taught it and made it available to the human being. He created the human being, but first he created the atmosphere for the human being's growth, which was truth, the Quran. And we do that in our families today. Ask any mother what are her preoccupations in creating a good environment for nurturing and growing her children. She has to first have control, which Allah gave her in creating her in the role of Raya, a guardian of the home life. Because the home life is a sanctuary of society. And the atmosphere that has to be established for civilization to occur. And the mother's role, she's created into intuitively with those compassions. That's why Imam Muhammad used to emphasize brother, you just go out and do the, be the provider in all of the expressions and excellence that Allah, and bring home what you gather and then get out of the way. Give it to your wife. And in her role, her fitra role, Allah's already told her what to do with it. And if we had that kind of partnership and commitment to each other as husband and wife, we would not be experiencing the issues of marriage and divorce as they are evolving nowadays, so problematic. If we were comfortable with fulfilling those roles, our life, our family life, our community life would be operating at a much higher and beautified level. We're doing good. All those who are striving in the right way, they get rewarded with the excellence. But it would be experienced on a greater level if we really understood and were committed to that. And that's what
Now, when Al-Abdullah, and his wife, Clara, said that what Wiley's got, he can take that all the way to the world.
That's right.
Which he did.
That's right.
And thus far, couldn't take what he's preaching. Now, he couldn't take that in any place outside of America. Really?
Nope.
Yeah.
Imam Muhammad, he took it all the way to the planet. He took it to the Vatican. And
yes,
all those people that heard him at the Vatican.
And they embraced him.
He took it to the world.
Yes.
No small clown couldn't do that.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And he left it with us and said, now after he was gone, for us to give him a good life. Give him a
and
good
that's
future.
Imam said in that last line, that which is consistent with the, and we will keep, and that which is not, we will let go.
That's right.
We kept what was consistent with the Qam by following the name of WD Muhammad.
Come on now.
They say, tell the truth, and we are who that was sincere,
and with the Imam, we went kept that with the Qam. And
that's
everything
right.
else that wasn't correct, we let it go.
And that's that improvement pathway,
the mustaqim pathway for evolution and improvement. It's not we don't look at the mustaqim as an arrival place. Where now once we may consider we arrived there, okay, we set. I'm good. I made the grade. It's a continual, daily exercise in obedience to Allah.
Let me say this that I have to go.
Okay.
And I have to go.
Okay.
No, I'm going to leave your mics open. Just keep on.
Brother Imam, can I make a request before you go that would help this production? Just a recommendation. I think something that you brought up at the very beginning, if this is going to continue on IWDM Radio, I'm talking about the Muslim Book Reading Club, I think it would be in our best interest to do what Allah says in all your affairs, conduct mutual amrhum, shura bainahum, mutual consultation in regards to keeping this going. I would make a recommendation that the books that Imam Ronald B. Shaheed have published and the personal private talks that with Brother Ghani, Brother Morocco, and Imam Ronald B. Shaheed, they gave some excellent publications coming from Imam W.D. Muhammad, that one of those books, and maybe say Thoughts for Searchers, that began with that as one of the books in terms of reading. I don't know about the third volume, where it's at or whatever, but if it doesn't fit, then we can do a projection in terms of this second volume on this outstanding publication, when that will end, so that those that want to continue with this, they will have time to, they may already have the publication. If not, they have time to get it, and then they'll know in advance, this is the next publication that it is that will be on the Muslim Book Reading Club, so they can be prepared in terms of following along with the readers that will be on this production on Saturday afternoon. That's my recommendation. You don't want to get caught at the very end, and we're getting too close to the very end of this publication. Then it's like, where do you go from here? Obviously, the information in terms of third volume, we should have had that information now in terms of even when it would be ready, but it's not to say that we can not always come back to it if, in fact, there is a third volume. So we can conflicting information here. But we do know that those publications by Imam Ronald B. Shaheed is available, and many of the believers already have those. So all we need to do is just take sure on which one of those publications you're actually going to start with, because I think it would be very beneficial if we're getting something direct from my teacher and leader, Imam Warthi Muhammad. That's my recommendation. I'll stop there. Assalamu alaikum.
I would like to sort of second the motion on that with an alteration, that as we do take shura on how to proceed, right, that we bring into focus other publications besides the beautiful series that has been published by Imam Ronald B. Shaheed in the Ramadan sessions. Now, we do this on Sunday evenings on our sister's, your sister station, AM 360, from 5 to 7 p.m. We are reading, and we're in the, I believe it's the end of the second volume. We're going to be beginning the third volume of the Ramadan sessions. So people can come to AM 360 on Sunday evenings to participate in that, especially if they have the publication. The book that I'm waiting for you, I think I requested it to a copy of it be sent, and of course I will pay you the cost of the book, becomes another element that could benefit from the book club exposure and reading. So can we have time to think about it, maybe have a conversation offline with those who are participating in this and notify the audience of our conclusion?
I have a call ready to get in. And I know that I love Ibn Muhammad's teaching and knowledge. I'm just wondering out loud, will reading his material, which requires thought, we can read the book by Dr. Sakia and keep reading, and we can hold our questions until the end. I don't think we can do that with justice with Imam Muhammad's writing, because it's always a study, and that's in the soul packed that we would be stopping every two, three sentences to unpack. And I wonder would that allow us to flow or not. Let me get Sister Zaki in here. She got her hand up.
Okay, and I'm missing one word you're saying. I can't understand one word you're using. Okay, go ahead.
As-salamu alaikum.
As-salamu
alaikum, everyone.
Yes,
I've been listening intensely. You covered a lot of things today. I thought about the 1974, before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed, when the Imam went around to different masajids and explained that he was the new leader. And Minister Farrakhan, the one in New York, in Harlem, Minister Farrakhan, witnessed with enthusiasm and all kinds of courage that Nawazuddin Muhammad was the one to be the new leader. He left no doubt, you know, in the minds of the people that it was Minister Nawazuddin Muhammad who would be the successor to his father. So that was very, that was made public eventually, you know, and I assume that most of us on this line, we did hear that. But if not, inshallah, it was January 18th, 1975. Yeah, a couple of months before Elijah passed away.
I was there, Sakia. I was there.
Oh, you were there.
I was there. I was there personally. Yes.
Alhamdulillah. But that would be a great testimony for his followers if they could hear him, Minister Farrakhan, give the credit and thanks for Imam Nawazuddin Muhammad at that time. I think they might appreciate that Minister Farrakhan witnessed that it was Imam Nawazuddin Muhammad to carry the community forward. So I'll stop there. Thank Allah for all that we shared with each other. Assalamu alaikum.
Sister Zakia, could I ask, do you have any thought in terms of the next book? I just made a recommendation. I know this is sure, so, you know, everybody.
Yes,
and yes ma'am.
Yes.
Do you have any recommendations?
I'm glad you asked because I absolutely did think about Imam Darnell Kareem's book about education in the community. I think that book would be an excellent book to bring to the book club reading.
Brother Mark had mentioned another book, Zakia, not the one that you're speaking about.
Yeah, I thought about the first book that Imam Ronald B. Shaheed of the Imam and Imam Sayer was just bringing the thought idea. Could we be disciplined enough to read that? And I do have an idea as, yes, I do think we could. I don't think that you could just read through it like in terms of the story of our Honorable First Lady and Mother. I think that you would only read so much and not be in a hurry. Then you stop. It has to be structured, whereas that you can lend some commentary in terms of what it is that you got from Imam Muhammad, but I think it's paramount for the progression of this community. Imam Muhammad was very wise, and that's why he left it with those brothers, so that the community could eventually get it, and they agreed that they would do that. And we see Imam Ronald B. Shaheed has been at the forefront of actually keeping his word, and I think that this is something that would be a feather in the cap for IWDN Radio, the Muslim Book Reading Club, to have those publications, whichever one you want to start with. I'm just making a recommendation. The first one that was put out, you know, Thoughts for Searchers and everything, and read it, have a structure in terms of how much we read, and then allot so much time for commentary, and then read some more. We don't need to be in a hurry because it's,
you know, we have what's on the table. You're talking about two different books. You're talking about two different books. Ronald Shaheed and the book about Daniel Kareem. It's two different books you're talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The sure in terms of I asked the sister, so that's what she said and everything. So I think whatever's put on the table, then everybody, if you take sure and that's the core, anybody else that's listening, they can chime in also. And then you just do like you do in Shore, you know, everything on the table, and then get the consensus, and you go with the consensus. I would feel bad if somebody chose something else other than that. I wouldn't, you know. That's what Shore is all about.
And there's a,
let me say this.
Hello?
Hello? Hold on, please. If you go with Imam Muhammad's material, which defines if we choose, it will not be a club. It will become a talim. Because you don't read through Imam Muhammad's material. You don't read through his material in any kind of rush way. You read through his material as a talim. Because it is too important and too precious information for us to go through it too quickly.
Could I interject something here? And that's a part of the sure. That's why I was thinking that a separate discussion meeting.
That's what I'm
saying.
Who's speaking now?
This is Sister Mahoffin.
Just
saying, interjecting that the format for this would be not so much a tag on here at the end of a book reading session, but have a special meeting, so we can, in a relaxed way, put things out on the table for discussion and not be driving to a conclusion here and now. Let me finish. So that would be a blessing for us and really purify our decision-making practices that we are trying to purify. And there is a difference, like you say, between that type of discussion and a ta'alim. A ta'alim is a lecture format. It's very different. Okay? So, and this would be a learning part of our community, too, because it may make the ummah in place at the masjid more capable of discerning, understanding what is necessary for us to derive unity in our thinking and in our understanding. And as my history as a teacher, I know all educators know how important it is for the management of learning in a classroom, is that everybody gets the benefit of what they came for. So this is very strategic. And I remember Imam Muhammad teaching this to us at the Clara Muhammad School in Chicago when we worked under him. He was our director. Yeah. So this is important. We're still in a learning process. And I'll stop right there, but I'm in favor of generally what everyone is interested. The book that I would suggest is As the Light Shineth from the East. That is a profound
book. Now this is the third book we bring into the picture.
Yeah, but let me just clarify something. When we initiated the idea of the book club, I kind of thought we said we would be reading books by students of Imam Muhammad as opposed to Imam Muhammad's actual books.
Yeah.
Because like he said, to read Imam Muhammad's books, that's like an intensive 2-year curriculum there, whereas to read, you know, the books that were written by others about Imam Muhammad and about the community might be more easy to navigate.
That's good insight, Zakiya, because Halima Muhammad Ali has the book in her spirit.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the fourth book we're bringing in the picture. Mm-hmm. But how many more books?
Well, these three that we presently read, the two volumes, are about Clara Muhammad's life. Alhamdulillah. So is the Imam Darnell Kareem's book about education. And Imam, and of course, Sister Clara Muhammad, she was like a mother to him. And then, of course, Sister Halima Muhammad Ali being the granddaughter, going under direct instruction, starting at the age of 12 and a half. and was said here.
In another book about Imam Daniel Apami, Imam Rami Shaheed.
Yes. The chime, I want to give everybody the greetings. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you so much.
Assalamu alaikum. Can I be heard? Okay.
Yeah, we hear you.
No, I agree with Zakir about people that is within our community to their books. The search for the Black Seed by the Imam, I think his name is Kareem, coming out of Connecticut, really good. I mean, now, you know, I like writers like this brother that I'm talking about and Dr. Zakir Muhammad, because they bring other things into their writing to explain the flavor of the moment that they're trying to tell you about. So that's a real good. It's so good that I wrote the book, Walking Out of the Shadow of the Slave Master. I'm revising that. Because I see so much that I need to put in it, all right? So I will be putting out a second volume.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And you have a couple of other books that you've done. I have those copies. So you are one of those authors that we'd be interested in hearing.
Okay. Like the Commitment to Faith and Leadership in the Islamic Rite of Passage. Everybody loves that book.
Yes, I have both.
Well, we have so much. We are truly blessed to have such an abundance of writing from people in this community. And, ya Allah, this would take us years to go through each book. But,
that's true.
It won't be easy to make a selection, but once we do, alhamdulillah, we can keep moving forward.
Right.
And
exactly.
Yeah, it would help us arrive at what would be a year's curriculum of reading, because the beautiful collection produced by you and your husband, his publications are just, and they represented a real achievement zone that Imam Muhammad always prized about your husband's writing and the dawah work that he did. It's just outstanding. And you collaborated.
That's what I say. It's such an abundance, my Lord. It's an abundance of stuff. But I see
now
one of the reasons I mentioned Darnell Kareem was also in an effort to support his effort.
I think we should hold up for a second. Mark has left, and Imam Sahir heads up his program, the Book Reading Club. He can't seem to get a word in it edgewise. So I think we should hold up on that. Imam Sahir, say something, please.
Brother Mohammed, I got the control board. If I wanted to do that, I could put everybody on mute. But I wouldn't do that.
One thing I don't want us to do is no condemning what people are contributing. They're not doing it to take over anything. They're doing it
say something, please.
Yes, but I'm not preventing him, Brother Sharif. Please.
Yes, you are.
No, in your opinion. But is that actually what happened?
All right, hold on now. Go ahead, Imam. Go ahead.
Please don't be rude like that.
Go ahead and say what you have to say, Imam.
Yeah, I am. Please tune in tomorrow to my show, Voice 19. I have Imam Nasser Ahmed coming on in the second hour.
and we're going to discuss the new release of the publication, Commentaries from Selected Verses by Imam Muhammad. He'll be
That's
on
great.
O'clock tomorrow, inshallah. And then next
Gotta
Sunday.
Gotta listen to that.
The next
and
Sunday.
The next Sunday, the Sunday after, which will be the 21st, inshallah, I'm going to try and get at least 5 or 6 sisters who got at least 55 or 60 years in our community who never gave up and hear about their perspective of the Muslim American community for the last 60 years. But you know anybody who's been a constant rock, you know, they never wavered, you know, they went through the good and the bad, and they're still strong. Like we need to hear everybody else's version. For example, this year locally for our Savior's Day, it was Savior's Day through the eyes of Muslim women, because we never heard what is their perspective. And it was very good conversation. It was very similar. I wanted to hear the unsung women. Who have stayed throughout the whole entire, that would be the inshallah on the 21st. If you have any recommendations for me, maybe it be you who are listening now, that can be a guest, make a contribution as to how does the community evolve? How did you see it growing and changing and getting from where we were to where we are now? So that's all I want to say. I'm going to leave the program going. Y'all can continue to talk. I need to make a zoo a prayer. I got to go visit somebody, so I do have to go. I'm going to leave it open. You'll have another half hour to talk before it's going to turn off.
No, I'll just leave the line. I have an appointment. Thank you. It's been an enjoyable evening. And let us not be careful not to assault each other verbally for things we do not understand.
Well, I don't think that we did insult you.
No, you didn't insult me. I wasn't speaking to anything you said, Sister Sultana. I was speaking to other comments that might have gone unnoticed.
Okay.
So it's just a caution that I'm giving. We can be corrected and cautioned. We have to be open. Right?
That's
I mean,
we have to welcome transformation. Okay.
So if I offend anybody, it's not my intent. So we don't have to make any concessions right now. We have to put up with each other sometimes.
And we have to be polite. You know, that was part of our upbringing. We have to know how to be polite and kind to each other all the time. Not just sometimes.
If I misunderstand, disrespect to someone, please let my apology.
Totally.
We can tune a piano, but we can't tune a fish.
Say that again.
We can tune a piano, but we can't tune a fish. Can you tune a fish?
That's very clever. You know, one thing I love about you, Sultana, is your sense of humor. You're straight to the point, but you always allow the room space for humor, and that's a blessing. May Allah bless you. I've got to go, you all. May Allah bless you.
Let me just say, you know what I got for an Eid gift from my son, my youngest son? Chocolate-covered dates.
Ooh. That sounds delicious.
I didn't eat that whole box. I took it to the master yesterday after Duma. I was giving sisters.
Excellent. Allahu Akbar.
It seems like there was no consensus at the end of the today.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think there was. There was agreement. It depends on how we see consensus.
Okay.
But anyway,
explain what was the consensus.
I've got to go. I don't have any more time, unfortunately.
We have to go also. So.
May Allah bless you all. And inshallah, and next Saturday, may Allah bless us to be in place to continue the reading. Inshallah. All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sister Mahasan.
Thank you, Imam Sahir, for your invitation and kindness. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Brother Muhammad Siri.
Thank you for being here. Assalamu alaikum.
Great.